Welcome to the Misfit Stars Podcast. I'm Shannon Curtis.
And I'm Jamie Hill. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Misfit Stars Podcast.
And Happy New Year.
Oh, my gosh. Happy 2020, everybody.
2020 sounds impossibly futuristic. I don't. That's weird.
Buckle yourselves in, people. It's going to be a wild year.
Oh, my gosh.
It's just going to be a pretty wild year.
Yeah. We can get into some of that wildness a little bit later, but let's do our welcomes, our
prefatory
happy
remarks.
Happy New Year's.
So, hey, first of all, thank you, everyone, for bearing with us on our Misfit Stars holiday. Because it turns out that because we release on a Wednesday, and this year Christmas was on a Wednesday and New Year's was on a Wednesday, we didn't do podcasts for 2 weeks, which for a weekly podcast is kind of like going dark forever.
It was like an eon of no podcasting. And thank you for those of you who do rely on this every week, the handful of you who do. Thank you for letting us take that break and for not giving us too much crap about it. because it was really good to have a break. But we're glad to be back also. And I feel energized for this new year and for our new podcasts and for lots of new things.
Yeah. Re-energized in my relationship with you. We'll get there later on. Ooh. Also, that's foreshadowing.
Yeah.
Hey, I would like to welcome any new listeners that we might have. It's been 3 weeks. Have we shed listeners? Have we gained listeners?
Oh, no.
I don't know how that works. But if there's a new listener who's listening to this for the first time right now, hey there, welcome.
We're talking to you.
Yeah, so nice to have you. We're talking to you, literally you right now. It's so nice to have you here. What we do with this podcast, in case this is your first time listening, is we don't talk really about music or art, despite the fact that we are musicians and artists.
I mean, we do sometimes.
Oh, sometimes.
But it's not focused on that.
No, sure isn't.
Yeah.
It's humanist in nature, right? And so you and I are just sort of using it as a weekly opportunity to debrief with one another about what's going on? What's in our hearts?
Our
what's
lives,
in our minds?
What's going on in the world?
Mm-hmm.
How do we feel about it? What do we do about it?
Yeah.
Those kinds of things.
we hope you love it. And new supporters. We have not had any new supporters the last couple of weeks. Makes sense. Haven't had any podcasts. What would you be supporting there?
That's right.
But here's the deal, people. This is a listener-supported podcast, and I really want to ramp some of this up in the year 2020.
What does it mean to be a listener-supported podcast?
What it means is that this is made possible by the people who have gone to misfitstars.com/join and just signed up. It's a $5 a month commitment. Let me be blunt about that. When I say support, I don't mean like touchy-feely emotional stuff, although that's super important.
Rah, rah, go Misfit Stars. That's very supportive. Thank you.
If you're doing that at home right now, first of all, that's weird. But second of all, thank you. That's really nice of you.
Or in your car.
Weirdo.
You could be doing it in your car.
I love the idea of someone driving in their car right now, listening to the podcast, doing a little private Misfit Stars cheer.
Rah, rah, Misfit Stars.
Shannon used to be a cheerleader. Did you all know that?
I did.
She still has a uniform. I feel like I've mentioned that on the podcast
before. You have recently.
I feel like I'll mention it again.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. It's important.
Okay. So that kind of support is great and it feels good. But when we say member supported podcast, we're talking about cool hard cash.
Cash money, people.
Yeah.
And here's the deal. We're artists, right? And so what we do is we work every single day in our lives to put good things into the world of one flavor or another. And we're not a monoculture around here. We don't just make music and put music into the world and that's the only thing we do. We do a lot of things. And this podcast is one of them. And together, they combine to make sort of a full life for us, you know? And each thing is sort of a little bit of engagement and a little bit of income, hopefully. And, you know, we have like 10, 12 sketchy hustles. And
you
they
put
all
those things together, and then we get to eat food and live in a house.
Which is good. Good. Yeah. Super good to be indoors right now. We're in Washington. It's chilly.
Yeah, totally.
We're grateful for that. So if you would like to support us via this podcast, please do so. Just go to misfitstars.com/join and throw your lot in with ours. It would mean the world to us.
Yes, and by becoming a member of our group here, you'll be one of our stars. It's our little nickname we give our supporters.
Yeah.
When you become...
It's earnest.
It is, because... Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you become a member, you'll be invited to join our private Facebook group, which is exclusively for supporting members of the podcast. And it's a lovely group. And we would love to introduce you to the rest of the folks who are there. And there are some cool things you can get in return for signing up to be a member also.
Mm-hmm.
There's a sticker sheet. Mm-hmm. There's a t-shirt.
There's going to be other stuff that we're not at liberty to speak about yet.
Yes.
I don't really want, I really can't say much more, but there may be surprises arriving in the mail for people. I'm just saying now might be a real good time to get yourself signed up.
It's so true.
Or to up your pledge level if you're already currently a member.
Yeah.
Say, for example, that you're in at five, but you really get a lot of value out of this. You could, you have room financially to move to 10 or 20 a month. You wouldn't, it wouldn't hurt. You wouldn't miss it too much.
Now might be a great time to do that.
Now might be a real good time to do that. Just want to throw that out
there. And that's all we're going to say about that today.
Hey, by the way, in other pod-related news, Shannon got a new microphone for Christmas. Can you tell how much more consistent and good her voice sounds?
I can, but I don't know anyone else can. They probably can. I don't know.
I just had to do so much frickin' post-production wizardry over the past month to make your Slimpsy microphone sound reasonable.
Oh my gosh, you just used the word Slimpsy.
Yeah.
Now we're going to have to explain Slimpsy, but can we just push pause?
Sure.
Do your thing about the rate and review. And then we'll talk about Slimpsy.
Sounds good. So people, here's the deal. Another way you can help the podcast is please leave a glowing 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. It helps. Like 5-star reviews help the algorithm show our podcast to more people like you. So if you want people who like the things you like to be made aware of this podcast so it can also, you know, theoretically enrich their lives. I put an asterisk by that because some weeks I feel like we're not enriching, we're actively dumbing you down. But you know, one thing at a time, we do our best, right? Every day is a new day. So please go to Apple Podcasts, search for Misfit Stars, just leave a 5-star review and write some nice words about it if you'd like to. We would appreciate it. It would help.
That would be awesome.
You could be a little author on the internet. That would be nice.
Yes. So there's so much to get caught up on from the last few weeks. We took some time off.
Probably the most important thing is the word Slimpsy.
It is a new addition to our lexicon. So one of the things you have to know about us before we go into this is that Jamie and I pick up like words that just make us giggle or that we like.
Yep. Oftentimes and from small people.
Over the course of our relationship, a lot of the words that we've added to our daily lexicon are words that we've learned from like our nieces and nephews when they were tiny. You know, like for instance, now that I have to think of an example,
I can think of a great one.
Okay, great.
So our oldest niece, who shockingly is 14 now, when she was like 2 years old, she would answer in really short, terse little responses. That's so right. Would you say, Anna Rose, can you pass me that book? And she'd say, can.
Like instead of saying, I can, she'd say,
I can do that.
Can. Yeah. So that is something that we do.
To this day.
Jamie, will you hand me the tub of raisins.
Will. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think we should put on parkas? Do.
Yeah. Exactly. So, yes. And another one was our nephew, Ryder.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't it Ryder who did the, it was Emmy. It was Emmy, yeah. his older sister. Emmy used to say when she was tiny, she would say, like, we'd be reading a book.
Yeah.
And a children's book.
Yeah.
Not a lot of suspense in a children's book, but, you know, little twists and turns.
And there might be a twist or a turn.
There might be a twist or a turn. And when that would happen in the book, she'd go, oh, no.
Like a little cartoon.
Exaggerated. Yeah. So
we call blueberries bluebies because of her and her little brother. We call strawberries strawby strobs.
It's true. So all these little words we pick up, and we picked up a new word over the holidays. Mm-hmm. So you might remember, and I don't blame you if you don't, but we put a new floor into our kitchen in December.
And to be clear, we did the work ourselves. We didn't hire a contractor. We became a contractor.
We did it. And it looks beautiful. But so we're feeling very precious about our floor. And so we wanted to get some new, chair leg protectors. Little felt guys to put on the chair legs so that they didn't scratch up our new floor.
And we know that they're pieces of crap generally. So we did research to really try to drill down and find the best ones.
Yes. Jamie particularly did research because he's really good at that. And just FYI, if you need to like hire him out as a service to research something for you.
Happy to help. I cost $1,000 an hour.
He'd probably be a great person to hire.
Yeah.
So he researched exhaustively and found some feet for the chairs that we thought would be a good option. And he showed me this, there were like pictures describing things, and the company had put out like a side-by-side comparison of their product versus another company's product.
A competitor's product. Yeah.
And are you pulling up the photo of it right now so you can say exactly what the things were?
I screenshotted this, and I'm glad I did because I went yesterday to leave a review on this product on Amazon. My intention being to leave a review that was something along the lines of, you know, on the downside, these products are, in point of fact, Slimpsy. But on the dramatic upside, we learned the word Slimpsy. But they have replaced this photo in the photos on Amazon with a slightly less grammatically wrong
photo.
That's
funny.
And so this one imagines, it's a top and bottom 50-50 split screen image. The top shows X Protector. That's brand A. That's them. them.
Yeah.
And then the bottom shows an imagined competitor. So the virtues it touts for X Protector are that, and these are bullet points, premium materials, tenacious adhesive, strong but soft material, long lifetime, and eco-friendly materials. Sounds good, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Now let's see what they have to say about their imagined competitor.
Uh-huh.
So this is not called X Protector. It's just called Cheap Felts.
Cheap Felts.
That's the name of this imagined competitor.
Wow.
And there's only three bullet points, and they are slimpsy, rough, and easy to fall away. Which, wow, devastating. I mean,
it's so good.
When someone says that you're slimpsy, like, how do you recover from that?
So yeah, Jamie was like laughing, and he comes and he shows me this, he's like, look at this word. And I looked at it, I'm like, slimpsy. I mean, it sounds like it should be a word.
Yeah.
Like it, I mean, like, say it right now. You know you want to.
Slimpsy. It's S-L-I-M-P-S-Y, slimpsy.
Slimpsy. It sounds like it ought to be a word. And I see maybe where they were getting there, maybe from flimsy, but I don't know where the P comes from.
No, not sure how it starts with an S.
Long story short, slimpsy is now part of our daily lexicon around here. Like if something is like a little bit janky, a little bit not doing what it ought to be doing, then like my old microphone was definitely slimpsy.
Yes, it was.
And now you're welcome. You have a new word to use to describe those kinds of things in your life.
Yeah, spread it far and wide, people.
Yeah. We really want to start a fire here.
Yeah, we really do. So, you know, before the word got sort of bastardized and became a word that just means picture with text on it, the word meme actually meant a cultural artifact that gets passed through the oral tradition from person to person.
Yeah.
So let's make this into an old-fashioned meme, people.
Old-fashioned
meme. Use slimpsy around your friends and family and then explain it to them. If you need the photo, just message me. I can send you the picture.
You know what I want? I want to be on our house concert tour this coming summer and hear somebody use slimpsy in the wild and be like, what?
Oh my gosh.
That would be so amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, help us get there, everybody. Yep. It's up to you. So yes, in-house projects, we did that floor. And so I've taken on a new project also.
And you're crazy for doing it.
Several days. I'm painting all of our kitchen cabinets. Actually, I haven't gotten to the painting part yet because sanding has been a hell that's taking me forever. And I have I've worn off my fingertips.
Yeah.
Like I can't really do anything with my fingertips right now. It's a problem.
Arguably a downside.
It's a downside, but I'm nearly done with the sanding part, and then I'll get to actually do the painting part, but it's going to look beautiful, and I'm very excited about it.
Yeah,
but
you're doing an amazing, very, very thorough job.
Thank you.
There's been some light carpentry on my part, some weird use of jigsaws. Something else that Shannon project managed for this is she decided that we should have one bank of these cabinet faces have no wood centers, but instead we take out the wood centers
as
neatly as we can and put glass behind.
Yeah.
And so that involved jigsawing out the center cabinets of these like custom oak cabinets.
Yeah.
It's like you get one chance per cabinet.
You do.
Don't screw up.
Don't screw it up.
I screwed up a little bit, not too much.
No, it's fine. You know, and I'm like really proud of us. When we first moved into this house, we had a lot of work to do to get it, you know, to livable for us.
Yeah.
And so we did a month and a half or whatever of remodeling. And I think at first we were very tentative about everything because we didn't know what we were doing and we just took everything very slowly and which is fine. It's a fine way to do it. But we were just unsure of our ability and just very careful. And I feel like now we have so much more confidence. Yeah. We're like, cut out the middle panel of our cabinetry. Great, let's do it.
Give me the jigsaw. Here goes nothing.
Yeah. So we feel a lot more emboldened to just do stuff, and it's been fun.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah. So that's my big project, but there've been music projects happening around here too.
Yes, there have. Oh my gosh, I have just had the deep, deep honor over the past month of putting to bed not one but two really fantastic records.
Agreed.
One of them is out in the wild, actually. You can go Spotify it right now. It's by a band called Zachman, Z-A-C-H-M-A-N
is the name. It's so good.
And it's an EP called Patterns. It's four songs. And it's one of my absolute favorite things I've done in the last, probably few years.
Mm.
Just because, stylistically and where the music is coming from spiritually is just so in line with who I am as a person and the stuff I like in music that I like.
Mm-hmm.
This is a really cool project. I remote control produced it. The artist is in Austin, but he's a very capable self-recordist. So I walked him iteratively, and I've mentioned this previously, so I'll go quickly with this, but just I walked him through the production of his own record.
Over the course of months.
Yeah, it was really, really cool. And he'd record stuff based on my ideas and notes and send me an MP3 of his current work in progress, a snapshot. I'd send him more ideas and notes, and he'd do more. And
hey, try try this, or yeah. hey, do this.
Yeah. And then he sent, when we were all done with notes, I had nothing more to take notes on, he sent the finished Pro Tools sessions, that's just the audio program, to me, you know, the program version of it to me, so I could take all the individual parts and balance them out the way mm-hmm. I wanted. It just came out amazing. They're such good songs. They're so heartfelt. It's just incredibly good, and it's dark, which I like. And there are moments of lightness also, and humor.
You know,
and
it's funny you said that it's dark. I don't see it as dark, honestly. I mean, there are some like real moments, you know, like that feel like, whoa, you know, like lyrically and also musically yeah. where you're like, you feel the impact of what's being communicated, yeah. you know, in a really deep way. And so I see why you use the word dark, mm-hmm. but like, honestly, for me, I get the feeling like when I hear Johnny singing, I think he smiles when he sings.
I think so.
Even when he's singing about like really hard stuff, yeah. you know?
And I mean, to be fair, the lead single is about a drug and alcohol induced mental breakdown.
Yes, I know. But I think that the fact that he delivers it with such, just the way that he delivers it
yeah.
just makes, I don't know.
I'm on board with you.
Like I feel endeared yeah. toward him. And it honestly makes it easier to listen to yeah. the heavier stuff that he's
it's true.
Singing about.
It's really true.
You know?
He's got a voice that's sort of in the same family of voices as a singer from like Death Cab for Cutie or something like mm-hmm. that. Very like plaintive and earnest and sweet.
Yes.
And so when he talks about this darker stuff, it's just like a little teaspoon of sugar.
It is.
Yeah.
It's a great record.
That's
so
great
it's called
record.
Patterns. It's by Zachman, and you should go listen to it.
Yep, go check that out. And then I also had the chance to work on my other of my two favorite records that I worked on over the past couple of years in this last month, which,
hey,
oh my gosh.
Hey, what about me?
Your records
I'm
are
kidding.
Good. Yeah, don't get me wrong, baby. Love your records.
No,
everything's tied for first place in my world.
I'm like totally
if
kidding.
I make a record that's not tied for first place, I think it's on me, right?
Right, absolutely. Yeah. Everything's tied for first.
I guess I kind of want to. You're right, though. Your records are my favorites. I guess when I'm thinking about this, I just am thinking about stuff I do that's not with you, because that almost feels like cheating to be like, all my favorite records are the ones I make with my wife.
I'm just trolling you.
That's fair. But I'm sensitive to it, too, because your records are great. And also very up my alley. I mean, I freaking make them. They should be, right? The other one was for our dear friend Aaron and his band, The Ampersands. And this record is not online yet. You can't go find it, so don't
Question.
Try.
Question, is it The Ampersands or Ampersands?
Not sure. Pretty sure it's The Ampersands, but I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, yeah. Put a pin in it.
Put a pin in that, yeah. I did his last record also, which was a joy, and that was in like 2012. Usually he releases a record every 4 years, but in the middle of the last 8-year period, he had two girls.
Children,
yeah. Who are like, what, 8 and 5 now?
Yeah.
Right? And so that sort of interrupted his record-making
pace.
But he's back on track, and we finished just like a couple of days ago his new record. Don't even have a definitive title for it yet. We're just currently referring to it as Amps 3, Amps being short for Ampersands.
Yeah.
It's the third album.
He's a genius musician.
Yes.
It's so fun to have him here making music, because like just to like watch his brain work, it works on like overdrive speed.
Yep.
Which yours does too.
Yep.
And so the two of you together, it's just like a tornado of like musical ideas. And it's fun to be
each
a fly
us,
on the wall.
Yeah, it's fun for me too. I mean, like, I think each of us is the only person the other has found who can match their like musical intellectual pace.
Mm-hmm.
The rapidity of ideas and ability to execute, you know,
yeah.
it's well matched. It's fun. We can work really, really fast on some really complicated stuff.
Yeah.
He's all about like really unique chords and chord combinations. A lot of his songs have guitar tunings that he invented just for that song. So it's combinations of harmonic structures that you just literally won't hear anywhere else.
Right. Like if he were to try to play this, he doesn't play live with this band. It's just a recording project.
Yeah.
But he was musing about the idea, like if this band were to ever try to play this record live, he would literally need like 14 different guitars tuned to different,
yeah.
different, you know, there's so complicated.
It's really true. You know, he is very intentional about not doing ordinary stuff. I mean, to the point sometimes where it's just like there's a clear opportunity for a really deep, really satisfying, emotionally rewarding hook. Mm-hmm. He will actively tack in the opposite direction from that, because that's the obvious thing to do. And that, it, like, in as much as he and I ever have to, like, have a pitched battle over something, it's me just trying to be like, dude, just come on.
Give us a little something.
Give me this freaking harmony, man. It's not even about the love song. It's just about, can we just have a tracking harmony in thirds for the second chorus? You know what I mean? Yeah. It would be 15 seconds that would just make my soul so happy.
honestly, even though he does unusual stuff, when you listen to the record, it takes you in all these different directions. There are some songs that have four distinct movements that are nothing like the others.
Yeah, but movements, it's all is a great word.
One song, you know, and so it's very like avant-garde in that regard.
Yep.
But very listenable. And I'm like, I've been humming it around the house for the last number of days.
It's all so melodic.
Yeah. It's satisfying to listen to.
And there is like an absolutely priceless gem of a musical idea about every 10 seconds for the entire record.
Yeah.
Just some instrument doing something cool that it only does one time, or a voice or something. And it just happens one time and like, well, what the hell was that? And then there's another one and another. It's just wildly rewarding to listen to.
Yeah. So it's not out yet. We'll let you know when it comes out so you can hear all the good stuff we've been talking about.
But man, fun music time around here.
Totally.
Very good.
What's coming up for you in music land or work land?
What is coming up for me in music/work land? You know, I've got some just random administrative stuff that I'm in the middle of right now, like making instrumentals of a couple of records so I can send them off for music licensing,
the
that kind of thing.
Sexy part of this.
Because, you know, when they put songs in things on movies and TV or whatever, they often don't want the version with the vocal because it might be in a scene where the characters are talking, but the music is perfect, so they need an instrumental version with none of the singing. So you got to make all those. That's a separate process. You have to like make and then master all the instrumentals. It's mind-numbing, but it's important because it generates, you know, a little bit of sketchy income.
Yeah.
Remember those 12 sketchy income streams we were discussing earlier in this episode? That's one of them, right?
Yeah.
What else? You know, I am going to be officially launching a mastering service, hopefully later this month, assuming that nothing else comes up to kind of get in the way of it like things seem to. Obviously, a hands-on working on music always takes priority, and if someone has something urgent they need me to do, I'll do it, but that's the next thing on my plate after this administrivia, is to get that just off the ground. I just have a couple more things on the back end on the website that I need to just, you know, write and design and set in place and whatever. I need to make a SoundCloud playlist of examples, just random stuff.
Right on.
But then I have a genius entrepreneur friend for whom I did some music last year, and we did it on a barter, and his barter is that he's going to help me with search engine optimization, which happens to be a field of expertise for him,
cool,
which is really exciting. So hopefully I will soon be an omnipresent and wildly annoying force in everyone's Instagram and Facebook feeds.
World domination.
Yep.
For those of you who need music mastering services.
That's it. Yeah, totally. It's something that I've gotten good at over the last decade. I started doing it informally like 8 years ago, I think. 9 years ago now, almost. And I took to it. And I've just been quietly getting better at it without ever really... I've never hung out a shingle for it. I've just been doing it on word of mouth for the last 9 years. But I've gotten good at it, and I really like it. It's fun. It's a totally different side of the brain. It's very right brain.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, you know, music making usually is pretty left brain, you know? But this is much more like analytical and science-y and math-y. Mm-hmm. And there's physics. There's applied physics and stuff like that. And just, you know, weird, arcane... like knowledge about how digital audio is passed from process to process and how you can do that in a way that preserves the sonic integrity at every step in the best possible way. It's just stuff that most people don't even know that you need to think about, you know?
It's stuff that people like me hear someone talk about and I'm like... and I'm so grateful that there are people like you who actually... Get joy from digging into this stuff.
And that's
stuff.
Exactly why I kept my thumbnail description to about 5 seconds just now. I could see your eyes rolling back in your head.
People
listening to the podcast on the highway, driving into a bridge and embankment just to make it go away.
Totally. For me, I've got to write a new record. I say I have to. I get to write a new record. And really, that is a better way of saying it.
How lucky
are
you?
I make music for a living. Yeah. And I will be writing a new record to come out in 2020.
Yeah.
And a friend asked me the other day, have you started writing yet? I'm like, nope, haven't started writing yet. But I have, you know, I'm in that phase of things where I've been collecting ideas and, you know, it always is the case where, you know, my interest gets piqued about things along the way, and I kind of jot ideas down, and over the course of a period of time, it starts to themes start to emerge from the things that are interesting to me, that have been interesting to me.
Through you know? Lines.
Yeah. And so I'm starting to identify perhaps potential through lines of the stuff that's been interesting to me. I don't know if this is going to stick or not, and I haven't even told you this yet.
What?
But I jotted down an idea for a potential album title. Huh. Before I've even written a song for it.
You have not told me this. Wow.
Yeah. And I don't know if it's going to pan out this way, but this is one of the themes for me that I've been sort of like trying to see what sticks to it, you know. Mm. So anyway, that's it's funny kind of observing like what my mental state has been since like we came home from tour this fall.
Yeah.
Like when we first came home, I didn't want to think at all about what was next. Music-wise, I didn't have the space to emotionally or creatively think about that at all.
No.
You know, and so just really needed to take a break. I dove in, I read some books, I watched movies, I let my brain sort of get fed a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, and I there's always a point in the year when, you know, like, so I end up doing a lot of like brainstorming and like brainstorming's not really, mulling over stuff, chewing on things in like the first like hour before like waking up and getting out of bed in the morning, like that post sleep phase that I'm in.
Yeah.
Like I do a lot of just like, you know, you probably think I'm still asleep some of those times when we're in bed, but like a lot of times I'm lying there and I'm not awake enough to be like checking my thoughts against any like shoulds or shouldn'ts or, you know, like I'm out of my own way in that state of mind. Of
a little
like,
more unfiltered.
A little bit more unfiltered thinking. And so I found myself over the last couple of weeks starting to use that time again to not intentionally, but finding my thoughts drifting toward the creative ideas during that time of my sleep. Whereas, you know,
great.
Yeah, like it, that wasn't the case for the last number of months, but it's kind of like getting there.
Yeah.
Again. And so I can tell that it is like my brain is sort of winding up for songwriting time, for creating time. And
gosh, that's exciting.
So yeah, we'll see where it takes us this year. But it's gonna be fun as always to discover that as it goes.
Yep.
And you know, and honestly, I think I feel like I'm one of the reasons I think that my brain is going there and allowing myself to go there is because we gave ourselves such a great rest over the holidays. Like it was a really just to be able to like choose affirmatively to not be reading the news.
Yeah.
To not be doing productive things, but to sit on the couch and do crossword puzzles.
Yeah.
Like, and just really take a genuine rest. It was so good for me.
Yeah, me too.
Like, I really feel refreshed.
Yeah. I feel excited to be productive and dive into things.
Yeah.
And I have been, and it's really, it feels good.
Yeah.
Not, it's funny because like sometimes I realize like I always can be productive, but the question is like, how do I feel about it? You know, do right. I, am I looking for distractions and excuses not to be productive, or am I right. just really focused?
Yeah.
And it feels good to be so focused and like really feeling committed to being productive for a while.
Yeah.
It's really good.
So let's remember this. Let's actually do like self-care, like break time.
Shannon and I are not always amazing at this, people.
Yeah.
You know, we just get real focused and all of a sudden it's like, we haven't seen friends or taken a day off in 6 weeks.
Yeah, it can happen sometimes.
Arguably
so
not
great. So it was
great.
Really, really good.
And so here's kind of how the arc of the last 3 weeks went in those terms. We had holidays. Shannon's mom came and visited. That was lovely. Mm-hmm. We had a really nice time. We just did hikes and went for coffee and went to movies and, you know,
we
had a couple
Little
meals.
Women. Oh my gosh, Little Women. I cried lovely. And I laughed the whole time. Not laughed, smiled. I was smiling ear to ear.
Or crying.
Or both. The entire time. It was so good. Anyway.
I liked it too.
It was lovely.
Yeah. So we did that. And then Shannon's mom took off, and then immediately, I mean like less than 24 hours later,
right.
Aaron showed up to work on his record and was here. We did 30 hours of work in 2.5 days. Remember we were mentioning that whirlwind pace? That's what that was like for me.
Yeah.
It was 2.5, 12-hour days, and you know, at the end of it, I just felt wrung out. But we couldn't stop because he left Monday morning, and Monday evening, we had our traditional New Year's Eve, just a small get-together, friends-neighbor thing we do. So we had to just to quickly get up to speed for that, and then we hung out with friends for like 8.5 hours.
Yeah.
Including one friend who showed up at like, I don't know, 10:30, 10:45 at night and stayed until like 2:45, which right. was so great.
Oh, it was fantastic. But the thing that was the most funny to me about our gathering that night is that when we put out the words to friends just a couple days before, like it was like a last minute invitation, we challenged people like, hey, come anytime you want after 6. And if you want to, if you dare to challenge us on our reigning Night Owl championship status, feel free, you know, put us to the test. And our friend, you know, Joe did stay
yep.
really late. Which is great. But the people who left just before Joe, they left at like 11:30 or something like yeah. that on a Monday night.
Yeah.
Were our friends Norma and Neil,
yep.
who are, we've talked about them before on this podcast. They're in our neighborhood. We've met them because of the whole neighborhood-wide fight against the self-storage facility that was going to be built the last year, but which is not now going to be built. Anyway, they are, Norma and Neil are exactly 40 years older than me and Jamie, yep. like respectively. They've lived in this neighborhood.
So they're 85 and 87.
They're 85 and 87. They've lived in this neighborhood for 52 years yeah. or something.
Been married for 63.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they've become friends. And so they came over for our gathering. They were, besides our friend Joe, the last ones to leave.
Yep.
And I, when they showed up for the party that night, they said, you know, you mentioned about challenging your Night Owl status. I think we might be able to, you know, to be in the running. And I was thinking to myself, ha, 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 yeah, right. Uh-huh. Well, he's like, well, no, actually this morning, I had breakfast at 2:30 in the afternoon and Norma wasn't up yet. And I was thinking, oh my gosh. Wow. And then they were the last ones to leave mm-hmm. at 11:30. They were going to be leaving here to go home and have dinner.
Oh,
at
yeah.
11:30 at night. And I thought to myself, oh my God, I'm looking at me and Jamie in 40 years.
Yeah.
This is who we're going to be.
Like, it's amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah. It was so great.
It was really cool. I love it though. I love that they like, they stay up until all hours. Four, yeah. five, six in the morning, later than us.
I
think that actually
they do,
we should be trying to compete with them for
Night
Owl status.
We're now surrendering our championship status. I mean, there's just, yeah,
yeah.
absolutely. And you know, they are just like bright and engaged and cheerful and funny and smart. Like, I just love being around them. Like,
yeah.
I really do hope to be like Norma and Neil when I'm 85.
They haven't lost a single step mentally, which is so great. I mean, they're just like, they've not checked out of life, you know? They have not reverted, they have not like sort of settled on a pat set of answers or platitudes. Like, they're engaged
mm-hmm.
and they're sharp and they're funny and they're really interested in thinking about stuff and they're just rad.
Totally.
Super rad.
It was a joy.
Yeah, it was a joy.
It was a joy.
But suffice to say that when all that hullabaloo kind of wound down at like, you know, 3 a.m.
Uh-huh.
We, again, you know, we had had our sort of mini vacation and then we'd had like 7 days of absolutely intense
yeah.
activity and
uh-huh.
we were, again, totally exhausted. So we took a couple more sort of little days to ourselves.
Yeah.
And I think really knowing that there was nothing ahead of us that we had sort of had to gird ourselves for.
Mm.
I don't know if you had this experience. For me, what it did is it allowed me to really let go and unwind.
Yeah.
And it was just like a day and a half, 2 day thing, but it felt like we went on like a Caribbean vacation. And all we did was sit on the couch.
Minus the tan.
And snuggle yeah. and yeah. do crossword puzzles. And that's
yeah.
and listen to records. And that's
yeah.
really it.
Mm-hmm.
And we had some food here and there and we just sort of hung out with each other and it was romantic and it was like intensely bonding, it felt to me.
Me too.
It just really felt like a chance for the first time in like a really, really, really long time just to reconnect with one another in a way that really, for me, almost harkened back to how it felt when we were very, very first dating.
Yeah.
That sense of excitement and wonder
mm-hmm.
and comfort and closeness. It was just really, really cool.
It was really nice for me too.
Yeah. It was very just intimate.
And I'm not really entirely sure why we got to that place.
Yeah.
But we did do some further sort of analysis on it, which we're
yeah.
going to talk about after the break.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's true. And would this be a good time to take a break then?
I think it might be.
Okay, good. Well, let's take a quick break. And when we get back, we'll talk about some new intentions.
Yeah.
All right.
Sounds good. See you soon.
See you in a sec. Hi, everyone. So new intentions. So sort of as a prefatory statement, Shannon and I, by coincidence, are not, either of us, the sort of person who's inclined to make really New Year's resolutions.
I've never made them. It's just something that people do. Yeah. I know. And that's fine if that's something that works for you. You like, I think it goes into the same category to me as like, when people ask you like, what's your 5-year plan or your 10 year goal? Yeah. And I've always just hated those questions too. Mm-hmm. Like to make a New Year's resolution to me just sounds like I'm setting myself up for trying to make plans for the next 12 months. And I don't even know what's going to be coming at me in those 12 months. And I just don't operate well that way. Like I find like that the idea of making a New Year's resolution or to come up with like a 5-year plan or whatever makes me feel stressed.
Yeah.
It makes me feel stressed. And I understand that there are some people who are built differently. Mm-hmm. But for me, I've recognized that those kinds of things make me feel stress and not joy.
Yeah.
And so I think for that reason, you know, a number of years ago, I told myself, I'm like, no, I'm not a resolution making person.
Yeah.
I'm much more of a do the next right thing kind of person. That really works for me.
Yeah.
But I do like the idea of intentions.
Yeah, you know? Right. So Shannon and I had an interesting thing happen to us on, I think, January 2nd. So, you know, we took like New Year's Eve and New Year's Day just as sort of personal time, and it was wonderful and it was romantic and it was intimate, and we got to a really, really just neat place together. And then we sort of started back up, you know, on projects. And we had this thing happen on January 2nd where we just had to run out to our local hardware store to get some random thing. And it was sort of, it was like later in the afternoon. It was kind of like between meal times. And I think we were both a little low blood sugar and like a little bit unsure of what we had to do, you know, like what direction exactly we had to take with this next little part of the project that we were working on. And, you know, I was being, I think, kind of like waffly about something. And I think Shannon, like, had a little bit of a low blood sugar moment where she just got a little frustrated with me. And she kind of said something snarky. Mm-hmm. And it was really, like, pretty minor. You know what I mean? But it felt as though that bubble, that amazing bubble that we had been in for the two prior days, just it, like it was a pin and it popped it.
Yeah.
And it was just gone.
Mm.
And it was the tiniest thing.
Mm.
And it really, for whatever reason, in that moment, in that context, just shone this spotlight on that idea for me that really hadn't been there before, of this idea that really, really small actions can have really, really outsized consequences when you're dealing with the nuance and the delicate moment-to-moment minutia of interpersonal relationships. Mm-hmm. And you know, you and I talked through it, you know, in a fasteners aisle at the hardware store. we stepped aside and we just talked it through, and that was good. And we committed in that moment not to let it be a bigger thing than that, and to really work on getting back to that really cool, really intimate, really romantic feeling kind of place that we'd been at, you know, 10 minutes prior.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it was cause for me for a lot deeper personal reflection.
Mm.
Around this idea that maybe the appropriate amount of barbs or snark or sarcasm, or you know, whatever else you might loosely lump under the heading microaggressions.
Yeah.
Like maybe the appropriate amount for that is really actually zero. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like maybe there can't be any tolerance there. Like maybe there can't be any wiggle room. And maybe I can't give myself and we can't give ourselves really a pass on anything ever in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's no excuse and like there's no, well, there are excuses. That's not the right way to say it. There's excuses all the time. But that it just can't matter, that there has to be better quality control.
Yeah. And like the snarky comment that I made, when we talked it through in the fasteners aisle at the hardware store, you know, trying to get at the root of where that came from. It's not like I was upset with you, or I communicated lazily.
Yeah.
In that moment. It was lazy communication. You know, I was feeling agitated that you were taking forever making a decision about something. Mm-hmm. But I didn't do the work to actually communicate responsibly how I was feeling. I just let the feelings kind of like create an edge in the snarky comment I made. Which, you know, again, like you were saying, maybe there's not room for that, you know?
Yeah.
In the moment might seem like a shortcut to communicate frustration or impatience, you know, but it did damage.
Yeah.
In the moment.
Yeah.
And so I see what you're saying.
Yeah. And you know, you're right about that lazy communication thing. And I have really been working on maybe what for me feels like the next level beyond that, like the next layer deeper than that, which is not just to allow myself to feel frustration, but to communicate it in a more responsible or kind way, mm-hmm. but not to allow myself to feel that frustration in the first place. Mm. To really be able to give you, you know, to as your partner, to give you like an infinite amount of grace and to infer.
Sweet.
Right? And to infer good intentions on your part, right? Because that's the reason I think that we don't give our partners grace is because for whatever reason, we've allowed ourselves to get into a mindset where we think that maybe they don't always have good intentions. Maybe they're, you know, and it's like this weird sort of cold war. Both sides are making inferences about the other side's intentions and motivations, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think what's going to be what has felt like it's really important for me in this time is to really get myself back to a mindset where I have just like this really like child's mind about it, where I just infer only good intentions on your part. And I really like let that be a baseline foundational assumption in my relationship with you, right? Mm-hmm. And so then what that gives me the freedom to do is in situations where previously I might have been like, oh, Shannon's doing that thing she does, you know? Or Shannon's doing a thing that annoys me,
right.
You know? Is to not let it be about me and my reactions and my grievances in that way, but just to let whatever moment is happening happen. And in that moment, in every moment, just try to be the best version of myself that I can and just try to approach it with love and humor and patience, you know? Mm-hmm. And not let moments take me to an escalated place. Like, not let them control me, but rather be in control of them, you know? Mm-hmm. Or, if the, you know, being in control of them is not even the right way to put it. It's just to let them be what they are and not have to influence them in any way other than bringing positive energy to them.
Right.
You know?
I read somebody, I wish I just thought of it now. If I had thought of it earlier, I would have looked it up before the podcast. I could have read it directly, but this makes me think of it. Someone's tweet that I saw earlier today, but it was just like a self-reflective kind of sentiment where he was saying like, I started to wonder how many of the problems I experience in my life are the result of me, how did he say it? It wasn't about worry. It was about giving too much energy to small things that really don't have to be problems. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And he's like, so I did this experiment where I, you know, stopped giving energy to small stuff. And it turns out that a lot of things I thought were problems in my life were things I was making into problems because I was giving too much energy to them, you know? And I feel like that's kind of similar to what you're saying.
Oh, exactly.
You know, as opposed to, looking for patterns of bad behavior or trying to analyze intentions. Mm-hmm. Like, here's the thing. If we can get to a place where we can responsibly communicate our needs to one another, then we don't have to guess at what the other person's intentions are.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if we're both doing the work of actually communicating, here's what I need.
Yeah.
If I communicate to you what my needs are, you don't have to guess at what my intentions are.
Yeah, right.
'Cause I told you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I think that personally, I'm going to try to like have fewer needs. You know what I mean? Like
sure.
In the same breath, right? Because like if everything is a need for me,
then
that also is going to place an undue burden on you.
I totally understand that. And then in this example, I was thinking about our time at the hardware store. Yeah. One of my needs in that moment was I just needed food. It was a basic need. And I probably should have just communicated, I'm feeling low blood sugar and that I need food. You know, that's what I'm talking about. You know, like just being aware of, I don't know, what my own emotional state is and communicating that in a responsible way.
Yeah.
When it's appropriate too. But I also understand what you mean about like the having fewer needs. Yeah. or making every situation, I guess. I think what I hear you say is that it's not that you're looking at every situation through the lens of what your needs are necessarily.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get
just
it.
Trying to be more open-handed about stuff and yeah. just try to like just see what's coming at me moment to moment and meet it with good humor and positivity.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, I think I have noticed that in the last number of days.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. I feel like I feel more closeness to you. It's just a safer environment.
Right.
Kind of all the time.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's great. Okay. Well,
I definitely feel like that.
Well, let's keep going. Let's keep doing that.
How do you feel about it?
Wonderful.
Great.
I mean, yeah, like all good behaviors, like it affects me primarily and in a positive way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. I mean, it reminds me in that way of like the whole, like the AA 12 step, you know, you got to give it away to keep it. So, you know, the idea of being of service, you know, like it has reciprocal benefits in the world for the people to whom I am being of service. But the primary beneficiary of that behavior pattern is me.
Right.
And I think the primary beneficiary of this new behavior pattern that I am working on is also going to be me. Mm. There will be collateral benefits for you.
Yeah.
But like the sense of peace I feel already just over the past number of days, not having to worry about like, what are my needs and are they getting met right now?
Right.
You know what I mean? What a burden.
Yeah. That's great that you're feeling that freedom.
Yeah.
That's
it's
awesome.
Cool.
I mean, when I say that I can tell also, like I feel safe around you and emotionally safe and close.
Yeah.
But I also I can tell what I'm saying is that you just seem joyful, you know?
Cool.
Which I'm glad for you for.
Right on.
Yeah.
That's great. That's cool.
Thanks for sharing that.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for listening. You know, I think it's part of a larger outgrowth of a thought pattern I've been having or a thought process I've been having since my depressive episode.
In December?
Late November, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and I think this is going to be helpful in that regard, just really, you know, not placing undue stresses on myself, not giving myself things to chew on that then go into the back recesses of my brain and manifest, like go away and hide and then come back out as something much worse at some unspecified time in the future, you know?
Yeah.
It's a way of keeping short accounts with myself in
That's
a certain
so
way.
So interesting. Yes.
You know?
I think it
might be cool. How about you? Do you have any new intentions you've been thinking on? It's okay if you don't.
You know, I mean, apropos of this particular conversation in our experience over the new year and just after the new year, I think that the theme for me around that conversation is just the idea of communicating responsibly and not allowing like lazy communication to take over.
Yeah.
You know, it's easy to do that. And it feels like it's shorthand, but it's not helpful.
No, it does not save time.
It does not save time. It turns out it makes things much, much worse.
Yeah.
So, you know, in terms of that, I mean, that's something that I've known is important for me to do, but it's nice to have an opportunity to sort of recommit to that kind of a posture.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I in terms of intentions, like in general, for like the new year or this new time, I'm not really sure.
It doesn't
sure.
have to be new year adjacent.
Got it.
Yeah.
You know, I've been lately, really just a theme I feel like comes back to me again and again, and especially around the new year when people are talking about their resolutions and things like that, you know, and facing, you know, this year. You know, this 2020 year, it's a presidential election year. It feels like there are a lot of things at stake. Mm-hmm. The news in particular this last week has been horrifying with the stuff going on with, you know, I mean, right before we started recording this podcast, there was news reports of Iran striking U.S. places where U.S. troops are stationed in Iraq.
With rockets.
With rockets.
That seems bad.
Yeah. You know, like it's truly terrifying. That sector of stuff, we've got an opportunity in this election year to choose a different direction
yeah.
in terms of our leadership in this country. Those feel like very big things. And if I allow myself to think about the very bigness and the scariness of those things, it feels overwhelming.
And indeed of the process that surely will precede that decision.
Yeah.
I don't feel like this is going to be a healthy year, communicationally speaking, in our nation.
Yeah. You know, so given all that, and given, you know, that I'm coming up on in my you know, work life, I'm going to be starting to write a new record, which always is it feels like I'm standing at the bottom of a mountain, looking up the top. Like that's a huge mountain to climb.
Yeah.
You know, I've got a long way to go. It's going to require a lot of energy. The bigness of that, you know, even just this dumb cabinet painting project, like it's a massive project.
Just the like dust management. Like you don't think about that. Holy shit.
But in all these things, the bigness of it, like to me, like the intention that I keep coming back to with all these things is what can I do in this moment that will move me one step further? So like with regard to the cabinet painting, there are several steps that have to happen. I need to do them one at a time and they may suck, but once that's done, it's done. And I get to move on to the next thing, right? With the album writing, it's going to be a joy to create this. But again, like if I let the bigness of it kind of like overwhelm me, then I'm overwhelmed and then I'm paralyzed.
Yep.
Right. So I have to, you know, my intention in that is to, you know, really let myself indulge in those early morning hours of like brainstorm and let my brain do those things and let that be enough for right now. You know, in a couple weeks when I actually get into my studio and start writing things, that will be the step for then, you know, but not letting myself get ahead of myself. When it comes to the big world problems, you know, what is it that I can do to influence the direction that we as a nation are going, you know, like, there's a presidential candidate that I'm like 100% behind.
Yep.
And, you know, so what can I do besides, you know, I make a monthly donation to her campaign. And you know, but what are the small things that I can do to make that happen? I don't have to take on the whole thing. There's no way I could, or I'm not expected to, but like, if I could do one thing, one step for me today that makes sense, and I'm part of the army that's doing that, then we're moving ourselves forward, you know? So like with all these things, I think I'm getting back to the notion that like it is the whole next right thing that I'm sort of committing to. Is that's not the right word, like re-embracing.
Yeah.
The notion of doing the next right thing is enough for right now. Not only is it just enough, but it's exactly what I need to be doing right now. And so that's where I'm at right now.
Right on.
Yeah.
I think that's good.
Yeah. It feels good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause in a moment by moment, you know, in a moment by moment experience, I just know that I end up being in a happier place when I'm not taking more on than I need to take on at this moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know?
Love it. That's great.
Hopefully I can be a better to partner to you because of that. I can be a better friend to my friends.
Mm-hmm.
Just show up in my life in more consistent and open-hearted ways.
Yeah.
When I'm not taking on more than I need to at this moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go.
I like it.
Yeah.
What else? We good?
I think we're good.
Yeah, cool.
The next thing is that I need to go actually pick up the paint from the paint store.
Hey, right on.
And P.S., we're getting food out tonight.
Yeah. Well, here's another thing. Our entire kitchen is currently in the guest bedroom. Yeah. I posted a picture of it on Facebook a little while ago. If anyone wants to see a picture of the entire contents of a kitchen in a guest bedroom, head on over to my Facebook and check that out.
Oh,
holy
my.
Hell.
It's.
I find myself just going habitually reaching for a drawer and there's no drawer. There's nothing
in
it.
It's so true.
Like, oh, it's so hard. Like I have to think about everything right now. I mean, first world problems for sure, but geez.
Yeah, totally.
But we'll do some sanding. I'll help you with that tonight.
Thank you.
Sure, no problem. I'm gonna be the pirate. So we've learned something about sanding.
It's a mess.
It's a mess. So I'm gonna be the pirate who holds the shop back half an inch away from your sanding at all times.
To minimize the dust.
Oh
yeah.
My gosh.
It's terrible.
Yeah, it really is. But you know, wish us luck, people.
We're gonna get through.
Yep.
Hey, and thank you so much for listening. Mm-hmm. Happy New Year. We're so glad to be on this journey with you.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us in it. If you're still listening at this moment, I appreciate it.
Thanks. And if you're not, how would you know, really? We're not talking to you. So, hey, people, here's the deal. Say, for example, that you're one of those hypothetical new listeners, brand new listeners that we were referring to at the beginning of the episode, and you've listened all the way through this episode. You're still here, and you're like, you know what? That was valuable and good, and I like it. I'm going to subscribe to the podcast, and I'm thinking about joining up. Hey, you know what? Please do. We could use you. We could use your support. Please go to misfitstars.com/join and make that happen. We would be so grateful.
We would.
And people, if you're already subscribed, if you're already a supporting member of the podcast, like we alluded to a little bit earlier, this might be a great time to bump up your level that you're supporting at. I can't really say much more about it than that, but if you're a $5 person and you're like, I could do 10 and I wouldn't miss it, please do. A, it would help. B, there might be some good reasons to do that. Mm-hmm. Can't really say much more about that. If you're a $10 person, you're thinking about maybe moving to 20. Again, smart time to do it. Can't really say why. So thank you.
That is some serious vague booking right there.
Hey, you know what? This is all going to become crystal clear in a week or two, and everyone is going to be, I think, probably pretty stoked about it.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's all we'll say about that. But yeah, misfitstars.com/join. Thank you. We're grateful to those of you who are already our supporters, and we're grateful to those of you who are thinking about becoming new ones.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Anything else?
Have a good week, everyone.
Yeah, do. And we'll see you, next week.
See you soon.
Love you guys.
Bye.
Bye.